Last June, we asked this question about Boston. How is it that a city with one of the country's most robust economies is also the American city with the highest rate of income inequality? In that story, you met Janine Skinner, who'd made the transition from welfare to work, and she told us about one of the major goals for her family, a kitchen table.
People don't realize, people in my situation, we don't have. You know, I come to work with people that probably make, you know, great money and have beautiful homes, and I go home where we sit on the floor. So this is something that I think is a very, sorry, I'm getting emotional. Yeah. You know, so have a place for me and my family to sit and eat dinner together every night.
After hearing that story, WBUR listeners reached out to Janine Skinner and bought her a kitchen table, even helped her pay some of her bills. Things have improved in other ways for Skinner and her husband. Now they both have stable jobs with a nonprofit in Boston. And Skinner hopes to start her own nonprofit, which she wants to call The Kitchen Table, to help others transition from welfare to work. But she says she and her husband are still a long way from a key piece of the American dream.
Currently, we're looking to buy a home, and it is quite a struggle across the board.
A struggle because Boston has some of the highest housing prices in the country. And because when times were tough, Skinner and her husband relied on credit cards to pay their bills and fell behind. Skinner also has more than $30,000 in student loans, so their credit score is too low to qualify for a mortgage.
We are both weren't educated on the importance of having a higher credit score. So we are diligently working on, you know, paying off past due balances. So it has been very difficult.
Skinner, who is African American, and her husband, the son of Haitian immigrants, are still struggling to make it in a city with a dramatic racial disparity in wealth. So says Patricia Munoz, an assistant vice president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the author of a recent report called The Color of Wealth in Boston.
And when you get deeper into the data, you really realize that the racial differences and ethnic differences are immense, especially in the Boston metro area.
Munoz found a widening wealth gap along racial lines. Among the key findings, white households have a median net worth, that's the value of their assets minus their debts, of about $250,000. The median net worth of black households, almost zero. The report also found that black households, like Janine Skinner's, have much more debt than white households. And almost 80% of white families own a home, while just a third of black families do. Munoz says that means blacks have much less ability than whites to pass wealth on to their children, perpetuating the racial wealth gap.
It's really the money that's passed down from generation to generation. So whites are more likely to get help to buy a house or more likely to get help to pay for education. And so then you see the cumulative consequences reflected in that number.
By contrast, consider the experience of Seti Warren, who inherited his home in the wealthy town of Newton.
I think about my story and how fortunate I've been because there's no way my wife and I would be able to afford to live in that house right now if not for the intergenerational transfer of our home.
Warren is not just a fortunate homeowner in Newton. He's the mayor and he's African American. And he's keenly aware of the racial wealth gap and how few blacks are in his position. Warren's father was a Korean War vet who bought the family home with the help of the GI Bill.
This idea that if you work hard, you're able to take care of yourself and you're able to ensure that your child's life will be better off than yours. That story is something that we're losing.
Home ownership is the major way families pass on and build wealth. But in Massachusetts, if you're not white, chances are your family doesn't own a home. Statewide, almost 70% of white families own their own homes, but less than a third of black, Latino, and Asian families do. Here's Tom Callahan, executive director of the Massachusetts Affordable Housing Alliance.
That is the second widest gap in the nation. That surprises some people because we feel like we're a progressive state with progressive policies around housing. And we are in a lot of ways, but the homeownership gap has been stubbornly large and actually in recent years has even widened slightly.
The causes of the homeownership gap are many and complicated. They include racially discriminatory housing and lending policies of the past. To address it, Callahan favors federal, state, and local policies to build more middle and low-income housing units. He says that would help close the housing gap and that yawning wealth gap, which the Boston Fed calls a public policy challenge requiring immediate attention. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.